You're listening to TJ Talks. This podcast probably is going to contain a lot of explicit language, so you're forewarned. All right, well, welcome to TJ Talks. I am Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And we're back.
After a very long break.
Man, I think we have to like do one a week now for the rest of the year in order to keep up, right?
We're going to have to if we want to make our goal. I've been so remiss in my podcast duties. Sorry.
It's okay. Life gets sometimes in the way and we get busy.
Life does happen, doesn't it? Every day.
It does. We do have some great stuff to talk about. We have the latest in political theater going on.
That is a good term for it.
You're going to talk about an event that you went to in Chicago, and we'll keep that under wraps until you get there.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to talk about what's going on in my running world.
Yes.
And it's a pretty interesting thing. And then we'll wrap it up with some soft talk on movies.
Soft talk. I guess that's better than soft porn.
Well, yeah, no one wants soft porn. I mean, come on.
Nobody wants that.
That's on regular TV these days now.
I'm telling you, absolutely. A few hours on the Lifetime channel. Look out. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Man, that's true. Right. So, talking about porn, let's talk about Donald Trump.
He doesn't have the porn stash. He's got the porn comb over or whatever.
Something going on there.
That guy. He's entertaining, I guess.
See, that's why I called it political theater, because I just am not taking any of this seriously. And the fact that he is the number one guy makes you kind of wonder, what are the general Republican-type people all about?
I don't think they're all about Donald Trump, to be honest with you. I really, really don't. I want to believe in the betterment of people than that. But I think he is such a spectacle. And because he kind of has that Oprah thing, right? You know, he's been TV gold with his apprentice show, and he's been famous for so long. I think that's what this is. And I don't think the majority of people really think the way he does. I think the majority of the people being polled do. And I think we've all talked about how the polls are really not the most accurate data.
Well, here's my thought, though, on it. If people are leaning towards saying they like Trump and he's politically incorrect, but all these other candidates are all about all of the things that have nothing to do with the kinds of things that the average American really cares about. Like, all these guys are talking about is abortion rights and all this kind of stuff. And when the conversation went to that in the debate, Donald Trump was quiet as a church mouse.
Right. He doesn't have anything. He's very socially liberal. I think he's admitted to that many, many times.
Right.
So that might be part of his appeal to people, is that he's not so up in their uterus and he's not so, you know, all about their gay marriage. He doesn't really care about that stuff. So that might give him some appeal to those fringe conservatives, Republicans that feel like he's not going to be bugging them for that. The thing is, it's just against their, it's still voting against what I think would be their best interests, but they're probably, it's still early. Are they really going to do it? I don't know.
Well, who was it? There was somebody, some person, maybe I think it was John Oliver, who said that, you know, there's something like, what is it? So many 100 days, like 400, 500 something days.
16 months. It's, you know, it's absolutely a while before we go.
He said that there are people that haven't yet even met that will have babies that will be born that don't even register to anything that's going on right now.
Right.
It's that far away.
Yeah. No, there's a lot. There's a lot of time left. So it's almost sad. I mean, it's that same thing when they put the Christmas decorations out in August. Like, I think the media is just beating this already probably dead horse about the political campaign. And I think they create a malaise in the normal people that, so by the time next November comes, we're so over it. It's just there's nothing more to say, hear, do, that or anything else that we're going to want to know. it creates a separation where people are just so done with it, you know?
Well, I think that interesting that Republicans are running their dirty politics campaign of, you know, talking bad about each other already. Rand Paul's running some pretty malicious sounding ads on Donald Trump, calling him a Democrat in disguise, the uber liberal that's just shown up here to take their party away.
Yeah, the uber liberal. That's the great part of it.
Right.
That's, yeah. I mean, I guess he's not wrong because socially he is. But I just wouldn't use those words to describe Donald Trump.
Right.
I'd use other words, but I wouldn't use those words.
But then let's move over to the Democrats who have not had any primary conversation yet. They're just out there. And then all of a sudden shows up this guy who's been around for a while. It's Bernie Sanders.
Are you feeling the burn?
Am I feeling the burn? I am totally feeling but I felt the burn for a while. I saw this guy, you know, there's these little square posts on the internet that were nonpartisan going up for quite a while that showed Vermont Eye, you know, independent, and they were posts about veterans and war and just stuff that nobody could not agree with if you were a Republican or a Democrat and you didn't support the troops and didn't believe that veterans should be cared for. Because he wrote this whole bill and sponsored it and pushed it through the Senate, because he's senator, that they want to overhaul health care for veterans.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, if we can afford to wage a war, we can afford to take care of our veterans when they come back from there. That's one of his platform ideas.
And he didn't vote for the war, but he's definitely pro-veteran. And and I think, you know, the big question will be, can he raise enough money? I think he can raise enough awareness, and you and I were discussing this earlier, that his social media play for someone in his 70s the way he is amazing. He's dominating social media better than any other candidate, I think, out there.
I think that where he will win is, see, and I learned this in Toastmasters, there's public relations, and then there's marketing. Mm-hmm. And they are two different things. And public relations is all about goodwill and buzz. Marketing is all about spending cash to promote your crap where you got to pay for it. Ads, right. Etc.
Right.
Will a PAC come up and do for Bernie what he won't do for himself? And there's nothing that can stop it, a PAC, from doing that.
That's the Citizens United thing, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Donald Trump, and I'm pissed off at the Republicans. I'm not going to run, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to throw a lot of money behind Bernie Sanders because I like some of the shit he has to say.
Well,
or I just want to spoil the Republicans.
Yeah, you know. Put the Koch brothers in a checkbook in a room and let them back a candidate that they mm-hmm. want their guy to run against, right? I mean, right. That's the whole thing. It can all be bought and sold now is right. What it feels like. So if Bernie can do it the grassroots way that he's doing it right now, then maybe there's hope for the world. If he can't, then we got to figure out a next step to overturn that.
But the one thing that Bernie Sanders is really trying to hold it strong on, and I want to see how long this lasts, is he swears he is not going to run a dirty campaign. He's not going to say bad things about the other candidates. He's not going to be there. He's going to be talking about himself and not talking about why, you know, emails from stuff.
He's got an easy job, right? Because he doesn't have to say anything bad about Hillary Clinton. There's plenty of bad stuff already out there
Her
own side is talking about, right? Like,
right.
I mean, everybody can throw those mud pies at Hillary, and deservedly. The email thing's ridiculous. I don't think she's as guilty in the Benghazi area as everybody on the right seems to think she is. Obviously, something went wrong there, and
right.
If she's, you know, more knowledgeable or responsible, then I wish that would have been vetted out and found. But that hasn't happened after quite extensive research and investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, her entire, she's part of a political dynasty that has connections and is well-seated with scandals and successes that maybe as a country we don't need any more of. So the fact that she's a woman, and yes, I have to say this out loud, would I love to see a woman president? Yes, but I think there are many men that I know that would also love to see a woman president just for the sake of the fact that it would be a milestone in our lifetime to have that happen. So I don't want to vote for her just because she's a woman. So that seems silly and counterproductive to if I really want to see change in the country.
I think
because she's not going to bring any change out.
Yeah, I think you're probably to some things she'll bring change, just not as much as you might hope.
Well, she'll bring Bill back to be first lady. That'll be a change,
right? But I mean, I know my mom. She wants to see a woman president.
Yes, I agree.
I would like to see Warren as Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, yes, yes.
As the vice presidential candidate under Sanders. That would be a very
strong ticket,
I think.
So a Clinton-Sanders ticket doesn't appeal to you.
It's not going to happen because he is so much against big money.
But if he gets asked to be VP... So that's the whole question in and of itself. If your arch enemy that you're running for the office for the most powerful person in the entire world still says to you, after they get the nomination, I want you to be VP, I want you to serve, right? Mm-hmm. How do you say no to that?
I think you just, I don't know. I mean, you got to figure out what's the game plan. What do you do as the vice president? Are you just standing by in case the person dies? I mean, what's the point?
You're a heartbeat away.
I mean, yeah, because you heard that now, what's his name? Biden is going to run. And now the rumor is Al Gore's looking at running.
Yes. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And that doesn't make a lot of sense.
So it's like, Jeez. Whole computer just blew up. Turn that crap off. All right. So it's just like they're getting on the Democrat side, kind of like the saturation of a competition like the Republicans have.
Well, at 18 or 19 candidates now on the Republican side, we're a far cry off from that.
Well, that's true.
I can't even name them all. I mean, there's a doctor named Ben Carson, and there's couple governors from like Indiana or so. I mean, there's just people. I know Carly Fiorina. I know her, or know of her at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just people that you just like, where did they come from?
Now, I will say that Carly is probably the most competitive candidate that the Republicans have.
Well, a lot of people gave her the win at the debate the other day. I didn't necessarily see that, but yeah, she's well spoken. I don't believe she did all that great for HP, right?
She fired a lot of people and made a lot of people unhappy. You know, she is, but I think that the real question is how socially conservative is she? Because if she's not very socially conservative, she's going to have a hard time bringing in those, you know, those red meat Southern religious right type people that they need, because that's the one thing about the Republican Party. They're a lockstep party. That was the reason why they asked the question, who here will not support whoever the candidate is? Mm-hmm. The reason they did that is because that's what the Republicans are all about. Democrats
they link arms and they go to town, right? Don't waver. And the Democrats are like, well, I don't know. And that they piss all over themselves and fuck everything up for the rest of us.
And then they, until after the election's over, and then they talk bad about you and then stab you in the back like Julius Caesar.
You know. Absolutely.
You
yes,
know, look
yes.
at John McCain, right? He was their nominee for president, and then all of a sudden now they say he's a rhino.
He's like a pinata. They just keep beating on that guy.
You know, you hear, you know, Trump. How do you back a guy like Trump after he says that I only like a guy who doesn't get captured?
Sure.
Something like that. But basically, yes. You know, I like
the spirit of the comment. And he was only famous for having been tortured as a prisoner.
Yeah.
In Trump's opinion, heroes aren't ever prisoners to begin with.
It's like, come on, seriously.
It's hard to take someone like that serious. That's exactly hitting the nail on the head. He's so out there. I mean, I'm thrilled with it. And like you said, the theatrical portions of it are great. I hope they keep doing it, keep making all these crazy waves. And meanwhile, hopefully Bernie and Clinton can get their shit together and make something happen across the country that will bring some sort of distinction to the race. I don't need Biden and I don't need Gore sticking their noses into the race.
Yeah, I think that what it'll be is I'd like to just see them have the vote for their primary, and whoever wins, and that's the way it works.
Yeah. You know who I do love, though, and I love seeing all the time is Nate Silver, nerd extraordinaire, the guy from 538. He's so goofily charming in that funny way. I just enjoy him. And to know that all he does is crunch his numbers and gets shit right, that part makes me very happy. I like him.
Yeah.
Anytime I see him, I always stop and look. So, besides you, Jed, he's my favorite nerd.
All right. Well, on that, let's move on to what some people claim that the person that you saw is a big nerd.
He's the biggest of all nerds. I mean, he's 6'7" or whatever. So
let's talk about that. What happened? You took a trip to some faraway place and had an experience of all experiences. So
yes, I'm writing my theme of what I did over my summer vacation.
Yeah.
So I jumped on a plane and flew to middle America across some of those flyover states, landed in Chicago, and went to see Tony Robbins for 4 days. And decided, you know, I earned this trip on my own. I really wanted to go. It's ridiculously not cheap, which kind of makes me giggle now. But I earned this trip, and I wanted to do it, and I've had it on my bucket list. So that box is checked. Get to Tony Robbins. And for those of you who don't know who he is, he's a motivational speaker and extremely positive in his thoughts and has lots of ideas of how to take your life to the next level. And a lot of people think that Tony Robbins is someone you see when you're struggling or you don't like things or that you need to be fixed. And that's not the case at all. You know, I'm not broken and nothing about my life is broken. In fact, my life is great. My job's challenging and rewarding. My family's amazing. I have great relationships and really great stability in my life. And I want something more. And it's a weird, compelling want of something more. I want to feel more evolved. I want to try new things. I want to learn more. I want to expand my mind. I want to grow my career. I want my family to be happy. Like, I want just more of what I already have. And I really came away from the 4-day experience with a huge breadth of knowledge and deeper feeling about what I want, how I want to get there, what I'm going to do to get there, and a real plan. Not just, it's not the, what was this movie? The Secret, you know, it's not just about the law of attraction. Think positive and create a vision board and everything you want is going to land in your driveway in a Ferrari, right? Like, that's not it at all. There's fucking work to do. And we did it. So you go and first of all, I will say this, Tony Robbins and his entire crew, the first and foremost thing they are is salespeople, because the first thing and all weekend long, they're selling you on the next seminar and the next experience and the next whatever, next CD set or whatever. So know that going in, you're going to get a lot of commercials. You're going to get a lot of that. But it worked. And for me, I was so impressed with my takeaway and the value from this seminar. The next one is on my list for next year. So, and that one's even longer. It's like 7 days and it's intense. So,
are you going to some private island thing?
Well, the one that I want to go to is in Boca in December. It's 7 days. It's called Date with Destiny. And you really get deeper into the work that you did at this one. I went to Unleash the Power Within. And it's 4 days of 2 days of full Tony and then 2 days of his assistant. Now, I didn't know that going in. I thought it was all Tony all 4 days. No, you get 2 days of this other guy who's really great, but he ain't Tony. So part of me was like, hey, I fucking paid to see Tony. But I still came away from the other 2 days with really great information, great amount of energy. And people are very quick to say, oh, it's like a cult and that people are crazy. And in so much as I don't feel it's a cult, but the people are very spirited, very energetic, and frankly, just like me. So if it is a cult, I wouldn't know it because it's my cult of people. I connected with a lot of people there. I'm still in really close contact with quite a few of them and have a great, you go through so many experiences, and he does a lot of guided meditations and guided processes to talk about how you're gonna change things in your life and live to the next level and be outstanding and step up to challenges. And you really go through a lot emotionally, and the people that you sit next to, you go through all of that with them, because sometimes you do these group activities. So you learn a lot about people, and they learned a lot about me, because you have to decide going in that you're going to play full out, right? You're just going to throw it all out there and make it work. And the very first night after 12 hours of sitting in a chair and listening and then standing up and jumping and dancing and screaming and yelling, I've lost my voice, I've lost everything. And we still walked on hot coals. And I walked across, you know, 1,500 degrees, hot coals, and didn't feel a goddamn thing on my feet.
Isn't that something?
It was crazy. And I could, if the coals were right here in my kitchen right now, I could do it again. Like, you just get yourself into this state of mind. It's completely altering, and you just do it. So that was really challenging and great. But I will share this with you, and then I'll wrap it up. But a lot of the guided things that we go through and things that he kind of leads you through are dealing with moments of gratitude. And I don't know about you, but there's, you know, everyone says, you got to keep a gratitude journal and blah, blah, blah. And I have a gratitude journal, and I write things down every once in a while. But the way that we really did things in this seminar was very intense. And I will say to you that the most intense emotional peaks, and sometimes lows, but mostly peaks, were when we were having these moments where we were thinking of things that we were most grateful for. And I even have experiences in my life that were really awful and not great experiences when you think about it, but I'm really grateful for having had them because they make, build character or change a direction or, you know, what is that song? You know, sometimes the best things that happen are unanswered prayers. And those are the moments that you really have to realize, okay, this happened for this reason and I should be glad for it because it led to this or it led to that. So that was really mind altering to me about changing your perspective on when you don't always get what you want. Sometimes that's not a bad thing, right? So that was huge. And then the last thing, do you remember growing up the Schick Schadl Institute? Do you remember, for people that wanted to stop smoking,
absolutely,
they'd go to Schick Schadl, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a commercial here, and it was a place where you'd go, and if you wanted to quit smoking, they would sit you in a room, lock you in, and make you smoke 1,000 cigarettes in an hour or some kind of crazy thing so that you would be so sickened by it.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing that, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. It was very intense neuro-linguistic programming, essentially. And that's mm-hmm. what this was for 4 days. We were in these seminars for 14 hours a day, very few meal breaks. If you wanted to get out and get something to eat, you mostly did that on your own. You really, really, really wanted to stick around because you didn't want to miss a moment of the programming. It was so great. But one of the days was about nutrition and health, et cetera. And for me, a complete caffeine addict, Splenda addict, processed food junkie, blah, 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 the wearing down and the learning about the negative parts of all of that. Now, mind you, I'm still going to do these things. I still engage in these things regularly, and I will. But it really turned a corner for me, whereas I used to think there's no way I could give up certain things, or I'd never be vegan, or, you know, I had real defiance about a behavior or a pattern with food or beverages. And I am 180 open to anything, and I've really tried this detox thing and really enjoyed it and feel like the energy level I have is incredibly high compared to where it was before. And I would have called myself energetic before. So having sort of a roadmap to success and knowing what I need to do to keep myself on track were the biggest takeaways from the weekend. And knowing that all of my success and all of my happiness, I am responsible for all of it. No one else has a say. And it's very empowering. So, you know, and walking on fire, if you can do that, you know, it doesn't make answering 50 emails a day very hard. Like, when you put it, things in perspective, they really come out differently. And I am forever changed from the experience, forever altered by it. I can't wait to go to my next one. And I'm still in contact with the people. There's a private Facebook group that I'm in, and it's the majority of my Facebook feed now is because everybody is still so into it. So, extremely moving. That would be the best way I could describe it. And I loved every second of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Can't wait to go to the next one.
Well, see, and that's a reason to get on the podcast here and give us insights and tips and hints and things that are going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. I'll go through it sometimes. And learning, you learn a lot about, obviously, what your own needs are, but then you also learn in his mind, there are kind of six basic human emotional needs. So you kind of determine what your top two are, but what my top two are probably aren't what yours are.
Right.
But knowing what I know now about those six needs, I could probably guess what I think your top two are. And so when you have that insight, and you have that knowledge, and you have relationships that are difficult, mm-hmm. you can think, oh, wait a minute, this person needs this and this, I bet, because that's kind of how I sense them. And if I just gave them what they needed in whatever format, they might relate to me better. And it has changed dynamics for me at work. It's changed a lot of things for me in just the few weeks that I've been back. So I can't say enough about it. It's super empowering. I've done this whole meditation lifestyle thing. I'm meditating, doing a lot of yoga, that kind of stuff. And not that I'm some holistic being. Please know, I would guzzle a shot of tequila right now if it was in front of me. I mean, there's nothing about me that's pure or cleaner because of this event. My attitude can still be really shitty. But
thank God.
Yeah, trust me. I'm still the deviant, hedonistic person that I always was.
Thank God.
But I have this desire now to have this inner clarity and whatever, and I get those things from this. He calls it priming. I call it meditation. And then this yoga practice, which kind of adds to that. So I'm not spiritual. I'm not wearing a turban or a white, you know, gauzy jumpsuit all the time. Purple Nikes. I do
gaze
go to the car, but that's different.
Gaze into the candle.
I just love it. So awesome. I could go on for hours. So cut me off now. Let's talk about you.
Enough about cut me off. We're trying to keep this to 30 minutes. So. okay, well, what did I do for my summer vacation? I've been running like a big dog, apparently. Ran a 10-mile race in the swamp and at night. I don't know why. It's pure pressure. I'm in a running group here in Cocoa Beach, and I run with a bunch of people. And last night I could have went out, but I had another situation on my hands that I felt that I needed to...
You were tied up with another event.
I was tied up. Yes, that's a good way to put it. But I was going to get to go last night and see the bioluminescence in the river and Goodwill.
What is this? That's some sort of
plankton. This illuminating plankton thing that
fun.
Yeah. So you take your paddles and splash it up, and all of a sudden you see like green glow in the water. Yeah.
Interesting. And this is after eating a special brownie, or this is
Exactly. I don't know. But then there was supposed to be a pool party and beer and stuff, and I should have went. And I was like, well, yeah, I prefer to just be tied up for the evening. So
it worked out better.
Yeah, that worked out better. Yeah.
Well, good. Can you talk about the blog?
I'm in the process right now of writing my first couple blog posts for a local newspaper, which once I get published, I'll officially put out the paper.
Well, I want to toot your horn a little bit because you were asked to do this by this local publication.
Yeah.
And you were sought out to do it, which I think is a huge thing. You should really be excited for. Based on your participation in the running club, is that the way that
it
started?
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was kind of open.
No one's asking me to write shit, Jed, I'm thrilled for you.
It was an open invitation to anybody who wanted to. But when I said, okay, but a number of people said, you should do it, they thought that I should do it. And yes. I write for, I do the website for the club, for the running club. So there's a Facebook page, there's a website.
There's a Twitter handle, there's an Instagram.
Yeah, there should be, but there's not. That's all we're doing at the moment. But I am going to a baseball game tonight with the group. We do all sorts of fun stuff. It's just like an exercise social club.
I love it. That's great.
And it's so super cool. Yeah, if you get to meet up with people who are interested in those things, and you don't have to do everything. I mean, I try to do a lot, but I can't do it all. I have so many other things going on, master's program, just this and that. So
yeah, no, do have a lot going on, but it's nice to, if you're going to be part of a group, you should participate, right?
As much as you can.
Absolutely. That's the point of being in the group. I think that makes you a good group member.
This Wednesday we go run and then we drink. And we get free beer at this restaurant. So we start our runs at the restaurant, and they know we're part of this running group thing, and we have a shirt with their logo on it. It's so organized, it's over crazy.
I love it. That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
I think if I had a group like that, not that I have time for it at the moment, but if I had a group like that, you know, running would be simpler. Because people run at every pace and level, right? You don't have to be Kenyan to be a member of the group.
Well, the official name is the Cocoa Beach Fun Runner Walkers Group.
Yay, I like that.
It's not a running only group. It's running and walking. So if you walk, that's fine too. In our area, it's generally a 3 to 4 mile course.
Okay. So people can finish that in an hour if they're walking.
Or they don't have to do a whole thing. It's like a mile and a half to 2 miles out and then back. Perfect. So you only want to walk a mile, turn around. You know, at whatever point you feel comfortable.
Nice. Well, it sounds like a fun group. How many total members are there?
Well, we don't have an official membership thing, but you know, based on who's in that shows up, we get between 50 and 60 people at a typical outing.
That's awesome.
Isn't it?
That's great. Good for you.
Yeah. So,
well, I'm glad to hear that. Can I toot my own horn for one more second?
Absolutely.
So, you know, years ago, I used to be a fitness instructor, and I used to teach all kinds of aerobics classes, and step aerobics was a big deal back in the 90s. Well, I've reinvigorated myself and reinvested in a gym, and the person who owns the gym used to be a student of mine at the step class that I would teach at a gym locally. So now she owns her own gym. She's a personal trainer. She's training me and kicking my ass on an almost daily basis, and she has asked me to come back and teach step at her gym. So tomorrow morning, I have my first class at 8 o'clock, and we're going to rock it out on a step tomorrow morning. So,
you got a lot of people signed up, a few?
Yeah, she only has about 15 steps. We're trying to get some more, but we're filled up for tomorrow morning. So it's going to be very exciting. Yeah, cool. Which, you know, you know how we are about this athletic stuff. We're always trying to beat old age and anti-aging whatever we can. So with your running and with my new workout stuff, I feel like we're really on track this year. Better than we've been before.
Yeah. I definitely
I've been before.
I definitely have some things I need to keep up with to get things going, though. I want a PR. I want a personal record on a 5K. That's a goal I need to truly set.
What do you want? 25 minutes? 27 minutes?
What? 25 would be a rocking awesome 5K. If I could get a 25-minute 5K, I would be super ecstatic. That would be awesome. That would be a great, like, way big time out there goal to have. I'll start with 30 minutes. It would be fine. Okay. You know,
that's very doable. How far were you on your last one? What was your time?
33 something.
Oh, you're so close.
So it's not, but you know, a couple minutes. You know, it's work. It's work.
Yeah. So a little more than a 9-minute mile, right? That's going to get you done.
Yeah, I need to get it into that 9-minute mile pace for 3 miles.
What is that? 6 miles an hour? 7 miles an hour? Constant?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's seven. Tough.
Yeah, somewhere in that little 6.5 to 7.
And then you got to worry about hills and things like that slow you down.
I live in Florida.
That's true. You don't have to worry about that. You're lucky.
Live in Florida. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Just gators chasing it.
That's right. Well, we got about 5 minutes to talk about some movies. So why don't we
have you seen? Let's talk about what we've seen, not what we've not
I've seen lots of movies. Last night I saw The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Ooh, fun.
Very fun. It was a good movie. Okay. I would say I never watched the TV show, so I don't have that to compare it to.
Right.
You know, because that was before our time, even. You know, that's a 60s type show.
Kind of like Mod Squad era, that whole thing.
I Spy. Yeah. You know, if you saw it, you saw it in reruns. Right. You know, so you got that. But it was good. I liked the movie. It was another spy movie. Saw Mission Impossible, which I think was the best of all the Mission Impossibles. And I am so... Huh?
That's what everyone's saying.
And I'm not a fan of Tom Cruise. I don't like Tom Cruise, per se, as a person. But his movies, they're okay. I kind of have to separate the two from, you know... He hasn't done anything other than he's just in a crazy cult.
Right, exactly. He hasn't molested anyone, married any adopted children,
I mean, what can you really be upset with him about?
Yeah, that he's a little kooky.
He's kooky, he jumped on Oprah's couch and is, you know, really into his thing. Okay,
I can excuse all that bad Scientology behavior.
But I guess the other part is, I don't want my money going to Scientology, I guess. That's where some people kind of draw that.
You gotta take a stand.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that have that prejudice philosophy. Against Scientology. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's other actors in that movie, and why should they be punished for that?
Yeah.
And people who make movies and everything else. But it was a good movie. So, anyways, good script. Hopefully they'll, you know, the Paramount, who owns that rights to making that movie, will continue to make better and better Mission Impossibles, because it is a good series.
It's a good series, yeah. They've always been good. And I've heard what you said, that this is the best one. So. Yeah.
Let's cool. see. What else did I see? I saw Fantastic Four.
Okay, you're the one.
I'm the one, yes. I'm the only person in America to see Fantastic Four. Give it back to Marvel, okay? That's all I got to say.
Right.
I think the reason is just because Marvel really would like to be able to put its universe together. And because all these different studios have rights, it's harder for them to integrate things that they would like to integrate.
Right.
And should be able to. You know, they should be able to have Tony Stark and all that stuff and, you know, all these different storylines be able to cross over if they want
to. And they just haven't yet. Lawyers have mucked it all up, right?
Yeah, lawyers have fucked up that. Yeah. So it was good. It had good special effects. The story was pretty good. I think there's the, you know, big controversy of having a black man play Storm. Johnny Storm, because he's always been a blonde-haired kid and the younger brother, but biological younger brother of, you know, of Sue, which is the Invisible Girl. And then, of course, Reed Richards, the Mr. Fantastic or whatever he is, Mr. Four, you know, he was an older guy, you know, this older scientist guy. And in this story, not so much. And in this story, he is the, you know, just super genius geek kid. So, you know, it's different. I don't know. I mean, it was okay. If you never seen Fantastic Four before, you would have watched this and you would have said, oh, that was a good movie.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Did you see Trainwreck yet?
Nope.
That one's really good. You should like it. You'll like it if you go see it. It's fun. It's a little bit crude because it's just that kind of humor, adult humor. But it's great. Amy Schumer's really good. And I don't know if you weigh in on that, you know, can women be as funny as men argument that gets waged a lot in Hollywood these days.
I think they can. I mean, Lucille Ball. There you go.
Okay, how sad that you have to have a timely reference like Lucille Ball. I think there's other funny women.
Actually, that is a timely reference because Universal Studios Florida just removed her entire tribute out of Universal Studios Florida this week.
Why?
No one knows.
What'd she do, and, you know, posthumously to piss them off?
I don't know, but, I mean, they had a big, like, whole thing, and now it's gone.
Yeah, she's always been a face character at the parks, right?
Yeah. So they did. Something's going on there. That's why Lucille Ball was right in the front of my head, because I just read a thing online about that.
Yeah, that is interesting. Well, did somebody buy her rights, maybe? Paramount?
Who knows?
Or are they going to make a bigger Hogwarts or something over there? I don't know.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Disney's going to put Star Wars Land in at both theme parks, apparently.
It's terribly exciting, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I, you know, my boys, of course, everybody in my house is all about Star Wars. I'm drinking out of a Chewbacca mug at the moment. So we're pretty much a Star Wars family, and I'm excited for it to get done, although I wish my kids were younger because I know they would be thrilled with all of that stuff more. But sadly, Star Wars doesn't seem to even... Or I guess greatly, Star Wars doesn't age out. Like, you still love it, regardless if you're an adult and you're 45 or if you're... 5, right? People just love it.
Well, and they are pretty lucky that there really hasn't been anything horrible that any of the actors have done.
So that hasn't screwed it up for anybody.
You know, they haven't had a Bill Cosby moment with any of the actors.
The next podcast, we're going to talk about him.
You know, totally, right? I mean, that's a whole great conversation there.
Yeah, all the pedophiles of summer... Cosby, or not pedophiles, but molesters and problematic. Cosby, Jared from Subway, the Duggar guy. Oh my God.
That's a whole nother podcast. We've already sucked up 30 minutes of your time. So, anyways, go out and see a movie this summer. If you got to see one movie, what movie would you tell people to go see?
Oh, I hear Ant-Man is great.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that one, too. I've seen that one.
That's next on my list.
Yeah, I would say Ant-Man is a good popcorn-eating, open your mind to a little bit of pseudoscience and fun and superhero adventure, and you will enjoy that movie.
There you go. Good recommendation.
So, yeah. All right. Well, shall we wrap it up since we really had a good... it's been nice getting to catch up here.
I know. Long time no talk.
I know. I will be a different color hair next podcast, by the way.
Hey, just seeing you with hair is a change. I like
it. Isn't it? It's just, it's crazy. if you want to know what we're talking about, tweet to us online at TJ Talks, or find our Twitter handles and good times. So we talked about politics, Tony Robbins experience, exercise, running, and some movies for the summer. All right. Well, for TJ Talks, I'm Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And we will chat with you later.
Talk to you later.